And so we're calling this series Game Time. And the question that was in that video that I want to start with is, when it's game time, where are you? Now, I am a pastor, but today I want to talk to you kind of like a coach. Who in here played sports growing up and you had a coach that sometimes got passionate, sometimes had to tell you what you needed to hear? It's not what you wanted to hear, but you needed to hear to get your butt in gear, right? Because the game's coming, we got to get your game ready. You ever played on a team where every athlete, every participant really didn't have their game face on? They didn't come prepared. They were the weak link on the team. We don't want that at Generations Church, right? We want every able-bodied member to be in the game, to find your position. In our equip class, we teach that everybody's a 10 at something. Everybody in this room is a 10 at something. We need to find out what that is and put you in that position, put you in that lane. Amen? That way you're happy, you love doing what you're doing, and you're good at it, and our ministry just rises. And so back to this question, when it's game time, where are you? Now, in sports, most of us are in one of two places. We're either at home watching it on TV because we couldn't afford to go to the game, or we're at the game and we're in the stands, but we're watching. We're not on the field doing anything, making anything. We're not scoring any points. We're just watching. And others, much fewer, are actually on the field, whether you're a player or a coach or a backup on the bench or on the sidelines. But today I want to talk about getting in the game in a different way, and I think you know the direction this is going. I want to talk about a game that's played on the field of faith, a game that's much more important and greater than sports, and it's serving God, playing for God on the field of faith, what we would call serving in ministry. You know our motto when you come in, and Kim, I think, mentioned it. She had the shirt that said, loving God, loving people. That third part is what? Living with purpose. And that's what this message and for the next few weeks is going to be about, living with purpose. Listen, if you love God and love people, God says you should serve God and serve people. And serving is ministry. In our equip class, I asked people, who sees yourself as a minister? No hands. And then a little bit later, I said, who sees yourself as a servant? Hands go up. And I'll say they mean the same thing in the Bible. Sometimes we think when we hear the word ministry or minister, it's a guy up here doing what I'm doing. And that's not true. God has called every member of his church, that includes our church. He's called every member to minister, to serve, and to give. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And then a little bit later, he says, I did not come to be served. I did not come to be served. If you're like Christ, you shouldn't come to Generations Church week in and week out to be served. Amen. Right now, we have about 30% of our membership coming to be served. And I want to change that. Okay? No condemnation. In fact, I'm going to start by apologizing that I didn't personally call you and invite you to serve. Today you're going to get a card. You got a card. This is my invitation. I need you in the game. I'm inviting you in the game. No condemnation. I don't want you to feel bad that you're not in the game. Maybe you never got in the game because you weren't invited, or you got out of the game and not back in yet. COVID helped create a lot of bench warmers and people watching from the stands. A lot of people disengaged and they never came back in the game. And so we're dealing a little bit with that. But if you're able-bodied, now some people can't serve. They're sick, they're immobile, they got to watch online. And so I'm glad we have an online service. But for able-bodied people that live in this area, you ought to be showing up to the stadium, getting in the locker room, getting in the team, getting on the field, having a position. Because for the 70% that are in the game, some of them are like Deion Sanders. They're going both ways. They're wearing three or four hats. And that wouldn't be necessary if everybody was in the game. And I'm really talking to members. But if you're a guest, and you're thinking about joining Generations Church and becoming a member, because there are benefits to membership, just know that this is one of our values. We're not a church that really condones coming and just sitting and being served. In fact, you're not that kind of person. You don't like it when you show up to work and you're the only one working and everybody else is entitled and not working or serving and contributing, right? We don't want anybody to be that guy or that girl. And so today I'm going to invite you to get in the game, find an area of interest, get in the game. You might have several interests. Matter of fact, you can go ahead and fill out your card while I'm preaching. I don't care. But at the end, listen, here's what I want you to do with those cards. If you're currently serving, just leave the card in your seat. You don't need to fill it out. But for the rest of you, fill it out, take it to the Welcome Center, drop it off at the Welcome Center, and somebody will be contacting you in the next week or two and inviting you to join the team and help us do what God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. In fact, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. That's what ministry is. It's serving and giving, giving something back. And so today I want to talk about that. In that sense, let me ask you, when it's game time, where are you? Are you watching the game? Are you watching everybody else doing the work and you're just coming to receive? Now, I'm not going to say it because I don't want you to call me out on it. But if you know the answer to that, what do you call somebody that doesn't carry their weight? Look at somebody and just give them a word. Just tell them. I want them to hear it from you, not me. What do you call it? Tell them. Just give them a word or two. You know, like slacker or, you know, freeloader. I mean, I was called a freeloader. So, you know, Tammy and I moved in with my son Jake. And that first year, one of my grandkids, we got crossed up on something and I had to reprimand her. And she said, well, this isn't your house. And she said, you're just freeloading. And I'm thinking, well, my son said he wanted to bless me, but you know what? She's kind of got a point. And so for the last 4 years, I've paid a monthly rent, so I wasn't a freeloader. So I've been a freeloader before, but we don't want to be freeloaders, amen? So look at your neighbor and tell him it's game time. Look at your other neighbor and ask him, you got game? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. I pray that the truth of this message would fall on hearts that would be responsive, that people wouldn't get mad. This is not a condemning message. This is a challenging message to challenge those who aren't in the game to get in the game and do what you called them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. And Philippians chapter 2. Talking about serving in ministry. Here's what Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 12 say. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, and he is Christ, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, some, not all, but some. So he's called some of us to be in those leadership roles. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, that's all of us. A saint is a believer in Christ. If you're a saint, raise your hand. I thought we had more saints than that. Anyway, for the equipping of the saints, why? Why do we need to equip the saints? He goes on, for the work of ministry. Who knows that ministry can be work? But it's a good work. For the work of ministry, why do we need that? For the building up of the body of Christ. You see how the dominoes fall? If we want to build up the body of Christ here at Generations Church, the way we do that is called ministry. And for us to have a ministry, we have to equip the saints, the leaders of our church, equip all the other members of the church to be equipped so we can do what God's called us to do. Amen. That's how it works. And then if you go back two chapters in Ephesians 2:10, keep in mind, it's work, but it's a good work. It's a good work. Serving in ministry is a good work. Sometimes it's hard, but it's a good work. And it's a necessary work to do what we're doing right now on Sunday morning. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, when you were born, you were saved for good works. You were called to do good works. The question is, are you? Are you doing good works in a ministry in your church? I made a list when you drove in this morning, and I've got to confess, I forgot about the road closure. Who forgot about the road closure? It's just habit. I did my normal thing, and I went, oh. I had to go and do the loop around. Now, watch this. I did the turnaround. I didn't turn on Crystal Falls. And I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to do the same thing twice. So I pulled into the convenience store parking lot and cut through to Crystal Falls and made it. But anyway, maybe I'll learn next week. But I made a list of, when you got here this morning, you were greeted several times. You were ushered into the sanctuary. You received some great worship. You're receiving the preaching of the word. If you have kids, they're being well cared for. Listen, it takes ministry to do what we do, and it takes people to do ministry. Amen. And so I want to say thank you to the 70% of our membership that's in the game making that happen. But for the other 30%, we need you to join the team. We need you to help us. Amen. Amen. In other words, we were created to serve God and serve others. That's the living with purpose part. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Remember, we've been talking about doing good works. Paul says, do nothing. Some of you stop right there. You got to keep reading. I'm doing that, Pastor Bob. I know, that's the problem. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, here's the key, value others above yourselves. Listen, this is just a guess, but most people that aren't serving do not value others more than themselves. I'm sorry, that's a truth that's hard to hear, but you need to hear it so you can change it. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So I'm just asking you today to do what Jesus did. If you're a Christian, as your pastor do, I have the right to challenge you to be Christ-like.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This section was weak.
Yes.
Are you giving me permission?
Yes.
To challenge you to be like Jesus? In your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In other words, he was God, and he didn't use that as his trump card to say, well, I don't need to serve. I'm at the top of the ladder. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. There's the word again. By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Listen, Jesus, who didn't have to serve, chose to serve, and he served as a servant all the way to the cross. Listen, he served you by dying for you so you wouldn't have to. And all he's asking is, would you get in the game and help me reach more people for who I died for? I died for you. Now show me some gratitude, show me some thank you by serving and helping me reach lost people and minister to the saints, right? We saw that video clip of the foreign missionaries, and the thought I had was, how embarrassing would it be if they came to our church and sat in some panel chairs over here and shared their story and then looked at us and said, what are you doing to share the gospel in a country and in a city and a community where you're not going to be killed for doing it? A lot of us aren't even in the evangelism game. We're not even sharing, witnessing. And our lives aren't even in jeopardy yet.
That's right.
Yep. And here they're willing to risk their lives to serve Jesus. Just a point of comparison. I think the American church just isn't on center yet. I don't think they have been for a long time, because we have it so good, we have it so comfortable, right? So if you unpack those verses here, a few key words that I see that are like Jesus. It says have the same mindset as Jesus. It says he was humble, he was others focused, he was servant-minded, he was obedient, he was willing to sacrifice. Sometimes working in ministry is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your time. Sometimes you have to be away from your family to do it. Sometimes you have to say no to good things so you can say yes to God things. It's a sacrifice. But it's what Jesus did for us. It's what he's asking us to do for him. Is that how you would describe your attitude? When a friend calls and says, hey, I need some help moving. Or the church says, hey, we passed out some cards. We need some help serving. Do you say, hey, sign me up. Where do you need me? Put me in the game, coach. Or do you pull out your Amex card, your American excuse card, and come up with five reasons why you can't? We get really good at that. And I have to watch myself. Because sometimes I pull out my Amex card and I give people excuses why I can't, because I don't want to. And so I'm in this with you. Now, I don't have that privilege to do it in this role, but there's other roles in my life where I can say yes or no to being a servant, having a servant's heart, and being willing to sacrifice, being others focused. Amen? And it helps to understand this. This isn't true for everyone, but most new and young believers, like most young kids, are consumers. They're not contributors. They're takers. They're not givers. They're self-focused, not others focused. So you would expect that out of new believers. But what bugs me is when veteran believers, people that have been walking with the Lord for a long time and have been blessed by God, have that attitude. When you could say veterans act like rookies. Now, you know, on a sports team, that doesn't last long, right? But hopefully when you're a new believer, a young believer, and you start growing in Christ and you take our equip class and you understand some of these things, then you begin to turn your focus from self to others and you say, hey, I need to get in the game because God needs me. I'm a necessary part of the body of Christ. We're all different parts of the body. Just don't be the missing part. So, in the time that I have left, which isn't much, I'm going to give you four thoughts about what a real servant looks like, a profile of a servant, of a Christ-centered, Christ-following servant. Number one, real servants make themselves available to serve. Notice I use the words make themselves available, which means you might have to take some things off your plate so you can make time to serve. Availability over ability. I mean, some of the better players do no good if they're not available. So you first have to be available. It's like a can of paint. That can of paint is meaningless until you take the lid off the top and pull it out of the can and use it for what it was intended to. Some of you need to take the lid off of your talents and abilities and let somebody use them for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. They do what's needed, even if it's not convenient. They go beyond what's expected, right? One of the things that bugs me is when people say, oh, that's good enough. That's good enough. Good enough for God? Or good enough for you? Right? We always want to give our best, right? Now, sometimes if we are, you know, working late in the game and we don't have enough time and whatnot, maybe it's not our best, but our attitude should always be to give God our best. You know, when I was directly related to the children's ministry and the directors, I told them what I was told when I was in children's ministry for, I don't know, 18 years or so. That this Sunday, will be your next opportunity to give God your very best, because you never know when the next Billy Graham or T.D. Jakes is in your class and God's going to grow them up. And I'm thinking, I just remembered that. And so every Sunday, it was like, this Sunday's going to be my best Sunday. I'm going to give it my best. That's a healthy attitude. Because when you work 52 Sundays a year, if you don't have that attitude, you're gonna slide back into, oh, it's good enough. I got 52 weeks this year to make a difference. No. Make this Sunday be your best Sunday. And then next Sunday, let's make it our best Sunday. I think God will honor that attitude. Amen? I first want to say thank you to the 70% of our church that are real servants. Right? And I made a list of those ministries, the glitter team. I mean, the glitter team. We have so many servant-hearted women that give of their time and they sacrifice to make glitter ministry happen. We have the same thing for our G-men, right? Our Bible study leaders, the guys that come for all of our events to set up and tear down and make it possible for other men to come and be ministered to. Our worship team. I mean, two a week. You know, they're up here every Tuesday for practice and every Sunday for, what, 3 or 4 hours bringing worship week in and week out. Our serve teams, greeters, ushers, welcome team, all of our children's classes midweek, our youth classes. It takes a lot of people to make ministry happen at our church. Our life group leaders in between Sundays that get their home ready to have people come in their home so we can minister to them. And then the GC staff and directors. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We're able to do what we're doing because of those real servants, and we want more in the game to help us. Here's number two, real servants do their best with what they have. Now, in our equip classes, I cast this vision for, we want to give God excellence. Excellence is not perfection. Excellence is giving God the best you can with what you have to work with. Right? So smaller churches might have a different level of excellence than your mega churches that have much more talents and abilities, right? But giving our church, I believe, if you'll notice, our church is excellent motivated. Ladies, can you not say that your ladies' event was like at a pretty high level on excellence? Amen? And I believe that gives God glory and it makes you feel blessed. Like this church cares to make things really good for us. Amen? Takes people to do that. They do their best. Number three, I'm going to skip some of this because I'm watching the clock. Number three, real servants are faithful to their ministry. They're faithful. They fulfill their responsibilities. They show up at the game. They show up prepared. They run the plays the coach calls. They're willing to call an audible if things don't seem like they're working out. They keep their promises and commitments. They don't leave a job half done. They don't quit when they get discouraged. They take responsibility for their mistakes. They don't play the blame game. And they don't put their team or department in jeopardy or in a bad light. Listen, when you're scheduled to serve and you no-show, that says that you're more important than them, and it leaves your team hanging. Right. Now we got to scramble to find somebody to fill that spot at the last minute. Okay? If you're not able to serve, at least phone call the day before. Let somebody have some heads up so we can do some last-minute recruiting, and the kids don't have to get something less than our best. Again, I'm going to say we're blessed to have many faithful servants. I mean, Peggy, 18 years. I don't think she ever missed a Sunday unless she was on vacation. 18 years. And here at our church, when we ask you to serve, we ask for a one-year commitment. We don't expect you to go 18 years. We love it when you do. I mean, we tried to run her off. She just wasn't. And that's golden to, you know, talk to any church leader. We have a lot of volunteers that have been with us, well, not maybe from day one, but from the time we moved into this campus, they're still here. And that really helps when you have experienced leaders that have servants' hearts. That really helps. But listen, they're going to one day reach retirement, and who's going to fill their shoes? So I need the next generation. And here's the deal. I want young people serving. Amen. I'm getting old. My wife reminded me. I said the other day, I don't feel as old as my age is. And she said, Bobby, you're on Medicare. I said, well, I'll get off. But listen, I want some young faces at the front doors. Guy, Edwards, best greeter we have, but Guy, we're getting old. And Guy and I have talked. We want young people. We want 20-somethings and 30-somethings at the front door. So when people show up, they go, oh, this isn't just an old church. Bunch of old people. I got to have the young people. But young people, listen, you've grown up in an entitlement generation. And maybe you're thinking they don't need me. We need you. We want you. I can't force you to get in the game, but I want you in the game. And if you're not a member, listen, get in the game and I'll take you through membership. But we want young people. We need a young adults ministry. We have nothing for our college age kids because we don't have leaders to lead them. And so what do? They go find a church like Stone or some other young church that's all about that generation. Why can't we have it here at Generations Church? We're called Generations. We ought to have a ministry for all generations. But I need some people that are slightly more mature than those 20-somethings to lead them. I had a 19-year-old guy call me one time and go, you need help with your young adults ministry. I said, well, I do. What do you have in mind? Well, I'm ready to start. Maybe you need to be in the ministry first. But if you're in your late 20s, early 30s, even late 30s, but you're young at heart and you still act like a college person, not in a bad way, you can relate to them, but you're God-centered and you have a Christ-like heart and whatnot, let me know. Let me know. There's so much we want to do here at Generations Church, but it takes leaders. It takes people getting in the game. Amen? You know, at most churches, 20% serve and 80% are on the sideline. Most churches, maybe 30, 70. When I go to Gateway Conference and we talk about this, for a long time, I was really proud to say that we had somewhere between 70 and 80% of our members in the game, and they go, wow, that's like record setting. That's like unheard of. And I'm thinking, well, why can't we have 100%? Why can't everybody be in the game?
Amen.
Right? Now, COVID drew that number down. So right now we're somewhere between 60 and 70%, but I'm going to say 70%. I don't want you to feel too bad. So for those 30%, if you're in this room today and you're part of that 30%, would you help me raise the number by filling out that card and letting us help you get in the game? Amen? Amen. All right. And then the last point is real servants understand customer service. They understand that first impressions can be lasting impressions. So every week we want to give our best. We want to do our best to love God and to love people and to serve people well because they're coming through this through the front doors. They say that in the first 10 minutes, most people will have already decided, before they hear me preach, they've already decided if they're going to come back by how they were received when they got here. That's why we have a friendly face at the top of the hill waving them in. And we've got several more greeters that are friendly and happy. Hey, good to see you. When we do 101 class, I go around the room and, you know, why Generations Church? And they'll say one of two things usually. They'll say, well, it was very friendly. We felt very accepted here. People were smiling. I love that. I love that. I love that. And we felt the presence of God in this place, and that's through worship. And I asked one time, I said, what about the preaching? But listen, if the first two get them, I don't care. And I'll try my best not to run them off to be challenging in my messaging, right? First impressions, which is why when you serve, we like to ask people that are serving to, you know, in the guidelines of their ministry, it'll say something like, dress nice, smell nice, and act nice. Smile, be friendly, right? Be the kind of person that you would want a church to have at their front door in their ministry that would want you to come back another time. I don't think we can outlove God, but we can try. Amen. Who came to Generations Church because you felt accepted and loved? It was a friendly church. Okay. So we just want to be that for other people, because listen, we want them to have a chance to come and come and come and hear the gospel and get saved and have their eternal life changed, right? We want to make that kind of a difference. When souls are at stake, that's important. Also, real servants understand that most people like good service. No one likes bad service. Do you go to a restaurant that's giving you bad service? Not unless their food's really good. But eventually, if the service is bad, we don't go back. We don't want the service here at our church to be bad. And they understand that good service means they may come back. That's our hope, that they would come back, because we want them to know Jesus. Amen? And give them an opportunity to get in the game and do what we all get to do. So, can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
Thank you for letting me have a pointed conversation with you. And I hope you'll help us make a difference as we move forward. So what do you hear God saying to you? I think it's clear in Scripture that God's called every believer to serve in a ministry in their local church, which is why we passed out some Get in the Game cards. So here's what I want you to do. If you're already in the game, serving in a ministry at our church, just keep the card in your chair, and in between services, we'll have somebody come by and pick them all up. You don't need to fill out a card. You don't need to turn in a card unless you've been in a ministry and you're thinking, you know, I might want to do something different or in addition to what I'm doing. Then fill it out, make that note on there, and we'll follow up with you. If you're part of the 30% that isn't in the game, would you put your name on the card, give us a phone number where we can call you, and then would you go down that list? It just says, my interest, what are you interested in? And you can check more than one. If there is more than one, you might number them in priority, like 1, 2, 3, or ABC or something, so we have some kind of an idea when we call you. But I really need you to help us. I need you to step up, get in the game, so we can build our bench deeper, we have a bigger roster, and we don't wear the faithful saints out, amen? We need some new blood. So would you bow your heads? Let me pray. Father, thank you for this message today. I pray, first I want to say thank you to those that are in the game serving. But for those who aren't, Lord, I open the door and welcome them in to being on one of our serve teams, so they can do what you've called them to do, and collectively we can do what you've called us to do. And then, Father, for those that are here today that may not even be believers in Christ yet, it's really not about serving, it's about receiving Christ. You know, in Revelations it says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man or woman hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you've not put your faith in Jesus for your eternal salvation, just know that every day God is knocking on your heart. He's knocking on your heart, and he's waiting for you to open the door and invite him into your house, into your body, into your soul, into your spirit. He doesn't want to stay on the front porch outside. He wants to come in and make your life better. Would you invite him in today if that's you? In fact, just say this prayer with me. The way we invite Jesus in is through a prayer. It's confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. So just say this. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I deserve death. But because of your grace and your love and your mercy, you died on a cross 2,000 years ago to die for my sins so I wouldn't have to. But I've never received that gift. I've never accepted that gift. I've never invited you into my house. And today's the day I want to do that. I don't want to live another day with you on the front porch in my life. So I open my door to my heart. I ask you to come in and change me to be who you want me to be, who you made me to be. Come into my life, Jesus. I confess you as my Savior, but also my Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Starting today, I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, come up and let me know, or let one of our prayer partners know, and they'll celebrate that with you. We even have a little book that we want to send you home with that says, what do I do now? It'll help you grow forward. And we're here to serve you, right? We're here to serve you. We're here to help you grow strong in your faith. I love you. Thanks for being here today, and I'll see you next week.